Good evening. We'll start in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, yea also as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay on Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, that we continue to grow by it, Lord, that it's always with us in our lives, Lord, and you indwell us with your spirit, that we can understand your word, Lord, and that we can communicate it to other people, and we can talk one another about it with those who are of the same mind. Father, we pray that we would cherish it, Lord, that we would treasure it above everything else, and that we would always seek to know you more and more, Lord, that we can lead more sanctified lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You are precious to God. It's a very easy thing for a preacher to say, and many preachers do say it, especially if they subscribe to the love yourself theology, preaching to the me generation, where God is not love, but love is God. You are precious to God just the way you are, is what they'll tell you. It makes people feel good about themselves, right? And you can see how Scripture can be hijacked to support this claim. Man is being given dominion over creation, or made in the image of God himself, who delights in his finest creation, mankind, who was fearfully and wonderfully made. And God rejoices in the habitable part of the earth, after all, and his delights were with the sons of men. That's Proverbs 8. Verse 31, surely the creator of the universe holds you dear, doesn't he? God has qualified for us what he finds precious, and from his word, I can truthfully tell you that yes, you are indeed precious to God. However, there is a condition. Someone God already likes needs to be living in you for him to find you precious. You have to be born again. It is not flattery for me to say that you are precious to God, and you don't have to take man's word for it. Jesus said to those who follow him in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31, that they have value in the eyes of God. He was talking to believers. If you'll turn with me there, that's our second scripture. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verses 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Those people who have not Christ cannot discern that God is speaking to a special group. And if they have not Christ, then they are not part of that group. And rather, they ought to consider his words in Psalm 7, verse 11. I'll read it to you that now, just for time's sake. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. As Christians, we know God has proven his love towards us, not just by his words, but by his actions, right? God Almighty considers us precious because he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Amen. You are only ever worth what God has paid for you, and you claim that worth by trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. We can only begin to appreciate the magnitude of this proof of love by his death when we are in Scripture. Our next scriptures are Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. We are all sinners who have willfully broken God's perfectly just laws. Is it our own worth then that makes us precious? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. For the answer to that, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is speaking of the unsaved, who we all were before we knew Jesus Christ. So no, we are not in and of ourselves worth anything. We have not any worth at all. Clearly God's goodness alone, his mercy, instigated the act of love performed on the cross. If I have a neighbour who is my enemy, who desires nothing but my hurt, who would have me crucified if he could, and I die for that man to save him, clearly the virtue of his love towards me was not a motivating factor in that decision. So it is with God. So what is the significance of the price paid for us then? I know reading my Bible that I am not individually important. God is no respecter of persons. Christ died for all, and God gave his Son for the world. The Son of his Jesus, then, well, what is his worth? Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. His first of two scriptures we'll read to give us an idea of that. And it's Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And our next scripture, Colossians 1, verses 12 to 18, which reveal to us who Christ truly is. Colossians 1, 12 to 18. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I hope you can see reading that the blood of Jesus Christ is priceless. It is of infinite worth. This blood was spilled for our sakes. This is why, and for this reason alone, God deems us precious. We have been made equal with his Son in our value to God, now that Christ is in us. The condition is that we are to first recognize how worthless we are before God in our transgressions, to repent and believe in the gospel. The charlatan preachers leave out this condition in their man-centered doctrine. You don't have to change to be appreciated by God, is what they'll say, because the unbeliever thinks that all their worth comes from within. To themselves, they are of infinite value. But God is the judge. He sets price on everything, including man. And I'll turn quickly for you now to Psalm 62, verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. All that makes the born-again Christian of value is Christ. This is the mystery of the indwelling of God's Son in every believer, and it is by His life in our hearts that we can profess to have any righteousness, and how God may now see righteousness in us, where before there was only iniquity. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, if you'll turn with me there. That lines our condition. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. I'm giving you a bit of a runaround tonight. Chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. I beg your pardon, I've got 1 Corinthians there. 2 Corinthians. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So now we can appreciate the truth of the statement that you are precious to God. And we see that it will mean God our Father shall not forsake us who have been adopted as sons and daughters to be protected and cherished as Jesus Christ is. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 illustrates that beautifully. It's a verse that we've heard in this church several times before. I'm sure you know it. Malachi chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The question then remains, after all that, that God has done all of this to give you the worth that you have now in this world and in the next, how precious is He to you? As we read in Malachi, we are as jewels to God. Do we esteem His word as highly? We ought to. Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 15, tells us how we should treat His wisdom, the word of God. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. This is speaking of the word of God. This is Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Jesus ought to take precedence over any and all material things. We should treasure the knowledge of Him and the wisdom of God that we have here in the Word, in our Bibles. Knowing salvation through Jesus Christ is a gift that imparts value and preciousness to every part of our lives. We have someone who is worth more than the whole of creation itself, who has the power to give value to that which was before worthless. The Bible tells us that man can do nothing to save himself. It doesn't get much more worthless than that, does it? And lastly, the Word constantly exhorts us to love the brethren, to show we agree with God about those he sees as precious. We'll close in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another.